I got to celebrate a little yesterday watching Pastor Brunson take a moment at the White House and tell the president how much he prays for him, and then ask him if he could right there and then on live TV. That was amazing. And I've watched a lot of presidents over the course of my lifetime. I don't think I've ever seen one of those moments like I did yesterday. I know there's prayer for presidents at inaugurations and those kinds of things, but there's something about what's going on that is beyond the norm. And a humble heart, being willing to say yes and bow your head while somebody prays for you, shows something that God will honor. God honors humility and a sense of, I need you, Lord, right? So keep praying for the president. I know he appreciates people who pray for him. Let's go to the word of the Lord, and we'll stand together and ask God's blessing on his truth as I read to you God's word in 2 Corinthians. And here's what Paul wrote. He said, I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. That's a guy with a pastor's heart, right? I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. My goal to get you there. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you. So while he's saying how much he loves you and cares about you, the church, he's saying, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. So he's very concerned they're getting led in the wrong direction. So, Father, thank you for this timely word. Bless it to our hearts as we grow and mature. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. 31 years, I believe, Pastor Long was the founder and lead pastor here. 31 years, 27. And all those years, only two lead pastors. That's amazing. That's got to be a kind of an interesting record somewhere in the archives of our fellowship, knowing how much they've moved pastors around, right? We're living in the end of days, and we're very serious days, and you're seeing things that we've never seen, but we've read about in Scripture. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 that many false teachers and false prophets would appear in these end of days that we're living in and would mislead many people as possible. And that's what Paul is concerned with concerning the church at Corinth. Many would be deceived. Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. Well, first of all, Jesus said that many people in the last days would fall away from their faith in him. And we're seeing things in this generation no generation has ever seen. Spiritual deception is at an all-time high, the greatest I have ever seen it. And that's what religion does to people. That's what astrology, humanism, New Age thinking, it's all about the deception of the last days. People buying into stuff that has a little bit of gospel mixed in, but not the whole truth. There is a worldwide movement afoot today referred to as humanism. It's a religion because they worship themselves and the only God they know, the God of what I want. There's nothing new about any of this. It's the same old lies the serpent told Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, if you eat this fruit, you surely shall not die, and you will be like God himself. And what are the greatest lies of humanism? That you are a God yourself. The don't judge me. This is what is good and moral for me. There are no common standards of accepted right or wrong. That's the religion of humanism. You see, every law that's passed is based on somebody's moral code. That's what laws come out of. And now we've got a variety of moral codes going on simultaneously in our culture, where our founding fathers based moral code on simply Judeo-Christian values. You see, we're kind of like they were in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So the enemy's plan is to make you believe not only that you're a god, but that you're going to come back again and again and again. You're going to get to make it right someday. That you can even confer with your departed loved one's spirits and be comforted by what they tell you concerning the afterlife. The enemy wants you to believe in reincarnation and therefore not make a decision about Jesus today, because you're going to get chance after chance after chance. Even now as we approach Halloween, there are many advertising that, you know, you can buy into the seances and go to places where in the cemeteries where you can talk to your departed loved ones. This book says it's appointed unto men once to die. After that, you stand before God for judgment and evaluation. And Jesus said in the last days, many false Christs would arise with all kinds of weird ideas. There are cult leaders today declaring themselves to have an inside track on what spirituality is supposed to look like. Paul wrote that in the last days, many would fall away from Jesus because of so much religious deception in the world. And many who attend churches live in deception because of lying spirits and seducing spirits and spirits of deception. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, the day of the Lord, the return of Jesus. So today there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like never before, but we're also simultaneously witnessing many falling away from their faith in Jesus. Jesus said in the last days there would be false prophets. They would mislead many. And just because you gather a large crowd of people together doesn't mean that's anointed of the Holy Spirit. We have to be very careful who we listen to in these days, because the plan of the enemy is to somehow deceive you, mislead you, get you off the purposes that God has for your life. Plan is to confuse you about your priorities and thereby change what you think is important. That way, the enemy subtly can lead you away from where God wants you to be. We're living in days of great spiritual deception. An advertisement reads, Christian psychic to tell your future. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because everybody's a Christian, no matter what religion they practice in America. But take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, which means weighed down with the giddiness and heartache and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life, unless that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. Any one or all of these can pull us away, distract us from the purpose for which God created us. News of a fortune teller doing an incantation, trying to cast a spell. Do you see that there are witches trying to cast spells and curses on the newly appointed Supreme Court justice? Do you see that they're gathering to do that, to curse him, using some of them, some of these that practice these kinds of activities actually invoke the name of Jesus while they're mixing potions? Paul said that in the last days, people would talk a lot about Jesus, but it would not be the Jesus that you and I know. They talk a lot about him, but deny the actual power behind who he is. And he would not be the Jesus of Nazareth that we're acquainted with. Spiritual deception is the greatest it's ever been. And even though they use words that sound like ours, Paul said, be careful, because the devil comes like an angel of light. He doesn't come with a pitchfork. He comes clothed in the very lingo we use, in the actions we use, and tries to deceive us into believing they're one of us. Number two, word says there's one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, narrow is the way that leads to life. There's only one who lived a sinless life, only one. There was only one who bled the blood of God that was shed at Calvary for the human race. There was only one who went into the tomb dead, but kicked out the ends of the tomb and rose victor over death. He's Jesus of Nazareth. Some religious people see themselves as good. They look within themselves for power and wisdom. Some even believe they're little gods themselves. True believers see themselves as sinners saved by grace. Not that we deserved it, but when we called on Jesus, he washed us clean, True believers know Jesus is Lord and that we're nothing without him in our lives. Some religions say that Jesus was not one with the Father. Some religious groups teach us that Jesus was just another one of the archangels from previous days. They're the ones who knock on your door early Saturday mornings, out deceiving people just like you. When we have the message that's of the reality of the truth, and we should be inviting people to know Jesus. Some say Jesus just lived and died like another religious leader. My Bible says Jesus is Lord. He has a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and tongue confess he is the Christ. He's Lord of heaven and Lord of everything underneath. My Bible says Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the Lamb the Father provided. He died on an old rugged cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb. On the third day, he rose, conquering sin and death. The word says, you cannot add another sentence to this book. So if someone comes to you at your door, riding a bicycle with a couple of other books that they want to say are equivalent to this one, you tell them, not so. You cannot add another word to this book. If your God is lying in a tomb somewhere, I would not follow that God. If you have to carry your God around in your hand, I wouldn't follow that God. Some religious people teach that Jesus was one of many masters who came in deity, like Muhammad or gurus or Buddha. Some teach that Jesus' life began with Mary and his birth in the manger. That's when Jesus first came into existence. I want to tell you, my Bible tells me Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and ending of everything. The word says, in the beginning, the Father said, let us make man in our image. The Father was speaking to his Son and to the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't begin 2,000 years ago. He's always been with the Father. He existed eternally, was present at the beginning of time as we know time. Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Some religions teach Jesus was murdered on a cross. Thereby, he failed in his mission. But this word I'm reading from tells us Jesus came to die. He came to die in our place. He came as our Passover lamb. He gave blood to cover our sin. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. Neither did the Romans kill Jesus. He came to earth and gave up his life, laid down his life to die in our place. We're responsible for Jesus having to die. Our sins required payment, and our sins brought Jesus here to die in our place. So you need to know, Jesus did not fail in his mission. The word says he could have called a legion of angels to come and rescue him at his command. He could have come off of that cross. He didn't even have to go to that cross, but he gave his life willingly as a ransom for all who call on his name. You can discover your purpose if you'll call on him. You'll discover your purpose when you begin to live for him, and you'll find your purpose when you surrender your life to him. Some religions teach that man is not a sinner, that man is basically good. You see, we're getting the truth here today. You're getting a pack of stuff out there in the culture today, but I'm telling you the truth from God's word. God's word is truth. That man is basically good. Well, he's a good guy. There's none righteous. No, not one. Some religions teach if you want to go to heaven, all you have to do is be a good person. And the word says, I can never be good enough to please God, nor good enough to get entrance into heaven. Heaven is perfect. We're imperfect. So unless there's been a change, we're not going to go into a perfect heaven imperfectly. Because before God, my righteousness compared to his holiness are as filthy rags. So it takes the blood of Jesus to clean us up. Amen? Some religions teach that only a select few are ever going to make it to heaven. The word says that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm here to tell you, God's not trying to keep people out of heaven. We did that ourselves. He's trying to get everyone he can to come to heaven. For God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus came for the Jew and the Gentile, for the white man, for the black man, for the Latino, for the Asian. Jesus came for all mankind. Some religions teach that there is no hell, that hell is a myth. And now there have been even some who have once called themselves Orthodox Christians who are denying the existence of hell. They teach that because God is love, that he would never send anyone to hell. They teach there is no such place as hell, that the only hell there is here on earth. Well, you know, most of us have walked through a little bit of hell here on earth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But it was Jesus who taught that hell is an unquenchable fire. It was Jesus who taught that hell is a place of torment for those who refuse the grace of God, of burning and weeping and wailing and the gnashing of teeth. It was Jesus himself who taught that. Number three, Jesus said the Father gives us the power of choice, and we're the ones who choose where we get to spend eternity. Whatever you do, you don't want to take a chance on missing heaven. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know whether I believe any of that stuff. Well, some things are true whether you believe them or not. Yeah. I think it's interesting that some people, you know, in their minds, they think Jesus was a prophet, but don't believe that he was Messiah. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would a true prophet lie? Well, they say on one hand, he was a prophet. Then deny he's Messiah. If he's a true prophet, he told you who he was, Messiah. See, God brought you here to hear truth today. And I want to tell you that the enemy has a plan to lead you to hell by leading you into deception. And that's what humanism, that's what any cult-like group will do, lead you off the path of righteousness. It's all about another Jesus, another way, another path, another road to heaven. All I need to tell you, your psychic friend is not your friend. Your psychic friend will take your money and make a fool out of you. Let me tell you your future, and you won't. It won't cost you anything. I'll tell you your future. You won't have to send in your credit card, right? Let me see. Let me see your future. I know it, because I see it, that if you obey God, you'll be blessed. If you disobey God, you'll be cursed. And thereby, I've just told you your future, right? You know that if your daddy did some stuff, you're prone to do some of the same things. So what you have to do is obey God and break generational curses. Then one can't curse what God has blessed. You don't want to miss tonight. I've got a word do you want to hear. So you say, well, I rebuke every generational curse in Jesus' name. You pray that over your life and over your children, because it works. You don't have to look for someone to pray a magic prayer. You come into agreement in your home and cast the devil out of your mind. In these last days, you're going to hear people say, I'm a Christian and I tell fortunes. There's no such thing. They'll say things like, well, I love Jesus. A lot of people talk about Jesus. Talk about the love of Jesus, but they deny the power, and he says, don't hang out with them. The devil is a liar, folks. Here's how you know if you love Jesus. Do you obey him? Okay? Do you obey him? You shall have no other gods before me, my God says. So when you get mixed up with fortune telling and astrology, and psychics, and death cults in video games. There are death cults involved in some of those video games, and they'll play with your head. And the death cult of Halloween, it's Halloween, my goodness, the movies, the murder, the killing, the gore, and people just addicted to watching that stuff. Look out for that. Halloween's not what Halloween used to be when you were a little kid. This stuff, that's a death cult. And we are into life. That's why we have Camelot. We don't celebrate death. We celebrate life. You're going to open a door for the devil to come in, and he'll start messing with you. Any jewelry you have that is in the form of some idol or some god from some other culture, listen to me, that attracts devils. icons of demon gods in your home or wearing them, that attracts devils. Demons are drawn to idols because when you have an idol, that's the manifestation of what a demon is like, and they're attracted to their own kind. They look at that and go, yeah, that's one of us. So if you're going to have that around your neck or in your home, then I have an invite to come visit you, because the God you are worshiping by wearing that or depicting that is a devil, and God says you shouldn't have devils around you. Satan doesn't walk around with two horns and a tail. He doesn't go, boo, I'm the devil. He doesn't do that. He's a master of deception. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He comes at you through what seems to be logic and reason and humanism, and disguises himself and now in intellectualizing religion. And so you get into Scientology, where you can think yourself into a better person, into new layers and levels of improvement. Let me say to you, if your religion causes you to hate, there's something wrong with your religion. Make no mistake, the enemy's plan is to lead you away from Jesus Christ. You hear about sightings of Mary once in a while. That can lead you away from Jesus. You see, it's a paradox. People will say, well, I love Jesus, but I follow Mary. I'm sorry, Mary's not the way. The saints of olden days are not the way. They're not the way. I revere and honor and thank God for a special lady like Mary. She's got a place that no other has, in that because of her attitude toward the Lord in searching out for one to be the carrier of the Messiah, God highly favored her, the scripture says. So yes, very special individual that God bestowed such blessing and grace on. But the one advocate we have is Jesus Christ the righteous. Mary can't intercede on my behalf in the sense that she mediates between God and human beings. There's only one mediator between God and human beings. That's the man Christ Jesus. His name is the Lord. I don't intend to offend anybody. I'm just reading you what God's word says. It's not my truth. It's not the church's truth. It's God's truth. Study the word and find out what God says. Don't be deceived in the last days. We don't segregate church on Sunday because I only want to go hear a preacher whose skin is this certain color. No. Above all, we gather together to hear the truth. Makes no difference who's speaking in the color of their skin. Some religions teach, you know, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, that's happening a lot in the Middle East these days. But Jesus taught us to forgive and to go the extra mile and to overcome evil with good. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, right? So anytime you decide you are going to be the avenger, you're asking for nothing but trouble. The word says that the righteous shall live by faith, not by sight. So we're to cast every care on the Lord. As believers, we're going to have trouble and battles, but even people may be against us, but we are to praise our God in the middle of the battle and that God fight on our behalf. Some religions teach separatism, separate colors, separate cultures. Jesus taught us to come together. And if your religion separates people by culture or by color, you are not in line with the teachings of Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are one. I said, in Christ, we are one. There's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, black nor white. Race, gender is no better than any other person. You see, the secret of the success of the New Testament church between Acts 2 and 4, you see all the ingredients that were put together there. And that made them a powerful entity that even the Roman Empire could not resist. And what are some of the things that were? They were in fellowship together. They learned God's word together. They kept the sacraments of communion every single day. They ate meals together. They hung around together quite a bit. Then they would pray for the sick and the needs of the people, and miracles would happen. And thereby, following those simple directives, the Lord exploded his church. But they had to have unity because they weren't all the same color. They weren't even all from the same backgrounds and cultures, but they all came together under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ to get the work of the Lord done, to finish the mission. Racism, now listen carefully, racism, it's the same whether you wear a hood or a bow tie. Am I preaching right in here? It's the same. Everything Jesus stood for, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for anyone who mistreats you, forgive people that you don't want to forgive. Let me say it this way. You can't do this unless you're born again. You can't do this with religion because you don't have power to do it in religion. Unless Jesus has changed your heart, you can't forgive people who've mistreated you. Jesus knew people would do things to hurt you, but he also knew if you didn't let go of the soul hurt, if you didn't let go of that which has harmed you in your spirit, you're going to be held captive by that anger. He knew you would not make it if you held on to those hurts. Number four, if you'll pray for those who have hurt you, it'll change your heart. If somebody hurts you and you're having a hard time with them, begin praying for them. When you start praying for them, your heart's going to change. It may take 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 years, but if you'll start praying for them, your heart will change. And when you get overlooked by someone that can promote you and they don't promote you on a job somewhere, and you were in line for the promotion and they didn't grant it to you, start praying. Start praying for the person. If you have an ex-husband or an ex-wife, start praying for him or her. You know what I'm talking about. If your dad was abusive, refuses to pay child support, start praying for him. Watch what the Holy Spirit can do. Jesus is saying we have to trust him so much that he'll take care of business for us. Jesus said when someone needs your coat, offer him your shirt too. And he said, what is he talking about? He's talking about the greedy tax collectors like Matthew once was in the New Testament, and who would come to you and impose unjust tax on your life. Politicians haven't changed much, have they? You know, you get a chance to take a shot at that gas tax here in a few weeks. And by the way, you better get out and vote, right? And if you didn't pay when they demanded it, unjustly demanded it, they would take your clothes and sell your belongings. So Jesus said, look, if they take your coat, give them your shirt too. So Jesus said, we're to treat others in these last days the way we want to be treated. So the way we treat people eventually is the way that God's going to allow others to treat us. And even though the person you're nice to may not be nice to you, know this, you will always reap what you sow. And that's why you need to be sowing good stuff all the time. If you preach hate, it's going to come back at you. Loving, forgiving, and trusting God, that'll come back at you. When you learn to forgive and let go of the past, you will never live out your purpose as long as you retain bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. And you need to learn to let go of the things that people have done. You'll never fulfill God's purpose hanging on to it. Tell somebody, whatever you do in the last days, let it go. Whatever you do in the last days, let it go. There's a resurgence of racism in the world, just like Jesus predicted. Tribe against tribe, it says in the Greek. And there's tribalism that way. But this church is becoming a model of what Jesus' church should look like. Every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. It's a sight to behold. That's the church that's going to appear before him when the rapture takes place. But as long as there's sin in people's hearts, there's going to be racism. Swastikas painted on synagogues. White supremacy. Black power. Racism. The answer is not in vengeance. The answer is trusting God. Forgiving as we have been forgiven, walking by faith, because if God is for you, who can be against you? Wasn't Jesus something else? The way he was teaching in ways they'd never heard before in that very stern religious group among the Pharisees of his day. He said to them, if you love those who love you, so what? He said, even sinners love those who love them. He said, by this the world will know that you belong to me, that you love one another. We are known by the way we love and forgive those who mistreat us. And the test is not when you come in here on Sunday and everybody's kissing you and hugging you and loving on you. That's not the test. The test is when somebody lies about you. The test is when they target you. The test is when they overlooked you. The test is when they mistreated you. They have abused you. That's the test. Do you believe the word of God or not? Do you practice it? It's difficult for a fleshly heart to believe the word of God. Fleshly heart can't wrap itself around these truths. Your feelings are always trying to get you and direct you to go another direction instead of following God's word. From the beginning, Adam and Eve began the process for all of us to come into the world and begin to doubt God's word. You have to make up your mind, you believe what God said. Their failure was they did not believe what he said. You might not like what God says sometimes. You might not like it because it imposes on your old nature, but command your flesh to obey God and do what he says. Some theologians are saying today, and it blows my mind. I just got another invitation. I haven't shown it to you yet from the seminary and in Hartford. And I'm attending, and the survey said this. Theologians have concluded that the four Gospels are nearly 80% incorrect. What's going on in the theological seminaries of our culture? That the four Gospels are 80% incorrect. I was the only evangelical in my New Testament class in that seminary. They were there to look at it like a history lesson and make fun of and the storytelling and the fantasies they created out of it. God placed in this book what he wanted in this book. He suspended this planet on nothing. He's God all by himself. And some will go, well, there's mistakes in God's word. Maybe you can't figure everything out, but just let God be God. His word is true. He put in here what he wanted in here. He kept out what he wanted kept out. They say this book is incorrect. I say they are incorrect. Am I in the right church today? God and his word are one. I heard a preacher say, I remember listening to him when I was starting early in the ministry, and one of his contemporaries was here not long ago, and we were talking about whatever happened to this guy. He no longer believes the Bible is the word of God. And he goes on teaching now. He's still teaching that no one is going to go to hell. You see, in America, you can believe just about anything you want. But that guy is being used to deceive people into living any old way they choose. I'm going to pray for him. He needs a new revelation of the Lord. Love your brother, you know, but I'm not going to listen to that mess, nor his doubt, unbelief, and the deception that he's speaking of. I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded. He's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Paul warned the church, be careful you do not follow another Jesus, another prophet, another Messiah. Jesus said, if anybody says, here, behold, here's the Christ, don't you believe that. He's lying to you. If you think Buddha can heal your body, ask him. If you think one of the gurus is going to put your body back together, go ask him. If you think Muhammad can restore what you've lost, go ask him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what our Lord is able to do. The one crucified and risen from the dead, alive forevermore. Listen, so you go to your God with your problems, I'll go to my God with mine. And the one who answers, that's the one we're going to serve. He's the one we'll follow. Follow the one who places love in your heart, peace in your mind, and joy unspeakable in your life. Life's answers do not come out of the stars that you read, but in the one who made the stars. He's got my answers. And number five, life's answers do not lie within religion, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If your Jesus doesn't bring people together, if your Jesus does not help other people, if your Jesus will just allow you to sit in church and not be motivated to tell others about him, listen, you're not following the right Jesus. Because I read in here, there is a name above every name, that as he came and was sent by the Father, I'm sending you. In the same way I came on a mission and a purpose to go about doing good, I'm commissioning you to go about and doing good and bring good news to people who don't have hope, because there is no hope anywhere on the planet except in the good news of Jesus Christ. There is only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Only one name that unlocks heaven's gates. Well, Pastor, you're just kind of narrow-minded. Well, I'll let you hear the words of Jesus, and thank you for putting me in his category. And here are the words of Jesus. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and the gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Beware false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. If you could have seen some of us BC, if you could have seen some of us before Jesus came into our lives, you would know our Christ is alive and well, because some were hellraisers, boozers, womanizers, dirty, low-down, double-dog sinners. How many know, but for the grace of God, amen? But he came into our lives and changed us. And you came to the end of yourself and said, he came to himself, yeah. Lord, not your will, or rather not my will, but your will be done. Lord, not what I want, but what you want. If you want to tell me that Jesus isn't real, he reached me way too late in life. I know Jesus is alive. I know he lives. He lives within my spirit. He's given me joy. He has given me a peace that passes understandings. He has walked with me through fire and through water. He's given me love that only God could have put in my heart. Amen. Jesus gave me a reason to live. He gave you one when you wanted to take yourself out. He gave you hope when everything around you said, give up and just die. He gave you riches that you cannot go to the bank. Listen, the bank doesn't understand it. I'm speaking about love, joy, and peace. That's wealth that no bank can provide you with. He gave you a church of loving multicultural people who love the Lord. Everybody coming together, connecting for one purpose, to serve God in this generation. Making it happen together. The religious gurus today are saying, we can enter into a man-made era of peace. Well, I'm going to pull the lid off of that one too. That's an antichrist message. So before you stand up and applaud them when they say, together, none of them, the ones I'm speaking of generally are not under the banner of Jesus Christ making that statement. They're political leaders. They're people from all kinds of different religions. We are going to unify ourselves, and we're going to have an era of peace. That's an antichrist message. There is no peace until you receive Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. They say, there's a new world coming. Well, they're right on with that one. But it's not going to be Krishna, nor Buddha, or Muhammad. There's a new world coming, all right. It's going to be led by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It will be led by the one born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, who died on an old rugged cross, who kicked the end out of that tomb and defeated death and said, I am alive forevermore. Well, Pastor, how do you know who's right? You know, there's all these different religions and different faiths. How do you know who's right? Let me tell you. The resurrection separates us from every other religion in the world. They found the bones of Buddha. They found the bones of Muhammad. They cannot find the bones of Jesus because he's alive forevermore. And I know there are people here today who understand exactly what I'm speaking about. So watch carefully, like Paul told that church. You know, sometimes people who don't understand God's word nor kingdom. They're just looking at life in the general perspective of the worldview of a free American. And we're grateful. We'll always be eternally grateful we were born in America. Every day, I'm grateful. But I'm a part of the kingdom of God. And that makes me accountable to my King. And Paul experienced it. That's why he wrote what he wrote and the words that he wrote to the church at Corinth. I've experienced it. And we have to talk to people about, you're kind of making a decision that's not the best. And they get their backs up. They don't like it. I'm going to follow what I believe and what I want and what I know. Well, like Paul, we have a jealousy that's like God's jealousy. I read it to you. It's the text I read to you. It's an interesting passage. And the way Paul phrases it, he said, I'm jealous for you with the jealousy of God. Jealous over what? We don't want you led astray somewhere. We don't want you getting off the rails. We don't want to see. That's why I said, if anybody tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than we preach, different kind of spirit than the one you received, different kind of gospel, listen, don't you put up with that. He said, you're starting to do that. You're starting to put up with whatever people throw at you. Don't you put up with that. Watch who you listen to. Careful. The follower of Jesus wrote, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Why did he have to say that to the church? I find it necessary to exhort you. So in other words, I'm raising my voice and I'm getting your attention. You need to start contending earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to all the saints. Because it's very easy in a deceitful environment for stuff to get put into you that begins to contaminate the faith that was once delivered to you. In the book of Revelation, it won't be on the screen, but John, in their inspiration, wrote, you have a reputation of being alive. In other words, you're going through the motions, but you're dead. And he said, wake up. He's speaking to the church. Strengthen what little remains. Your actions are not meeting the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first and hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. So those are the words of Jesus to the church. So what is he saying? That if we're not cautious about knowing diligently this truth, and refreshing it and renewing it and allowing the Holy Spirit reveal it, we just wander off and start listening to this good voice and that good voice, and I like that, and I'll take a little of this and a little of that and throw it in the middle. Before you know it, you no longer have what this book teaches. It is a narrow road. Sometimes it's a difficult one, but it's the only road that's going to get me through the gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father but by me. So let's stand together and let's thank God for his truth. Amen. You heard truth this morning. Celebrate it. You heard truth. Celebrate the truth and thank God for truth.